something again about those words, you know, because at Crosspoint, we don't wait. You know, this is kind of a cultural thing. You know, we wait for things to come around. We wait to think for things to change and get to where we want them to be. Well, you know, we believe we're a change agent here at Crosspoint. And so over these next weeks, we're going to be talking about what it means to get prepared. And I want to talk a little bit about what's next. I want to talk a little bit about where Crosspoint's next step is. I mean, we've come through some really big things over the last months, and yet, you know, what's the next step in the next month that we're going to be taking? What's the next season that we're going to be engaging in? And so, you know, there's been some great stuff happening around here. I mean, if you're a guest with us today, we're glad you're here. Let me give you a real quick overview. Over the spring, we had this thing called a crazy campaign, and we went on this journey together, and we believe God has a dream for this community to move into a more permanent location, a place that will be a tool for us to continue to bring about increased life change in our community. And so, you know, we kind of, for 6-7 weeks, we just journeyed and said, God, what are you doing in us? How do you want us to fuel this thing that you're doing, this dream? The price tag's pretty hefty, over $500,000. And at the end of that, this church full of a bunch of young professional families did an amazing thing. I'm going to talk a little bit about that here in a little bit. But it's cool how not just that we're raising funds, but that lives are being oriented around this thing that God is doing. And then a week after that, we had a baptism celebration, really cool thing where we had 8 people baptized on a Sunday morning. People saying, hey, I'm going to align myself with Christ. I'm going to take the plunge, get baptized as an expression that I want my heart, my life to be running hard after God. And it's just a really cool moment. We always celebrate those days. And, you know, it's just big, big stuff. And so, you know, the big question is, what's next? I mean, where are we going after we come through big things? You know, what are we going to bigger and greater things? We are. But, you know, we're continuing to do the same things that Crosspoint has been about. And one of those is we take out our connection cards each week. This is kind of that transitional line, in case you didn't notice. And the weekly is a connection card. You can pull it out. And we fill these out every week. If you're a partner or a regular attender, all we need is your name and then any information that's changed. We're trying to update our data over these next weeks as we're getting into the fall. So if you've had any changes, even if you've communicated them to us, please share those with us again. And if you're a guest, we would just love to find a little bit out about you. As much information as you're willing to pass on to us, we promise to protect that. We won't sell it to anybody. We won't show up on your front doorstep unless you want us to. We won't even call you unless you want us to do that. But you know, we'll keep you in the loop of what's going on here. And this is just one of the ways that we connect with you and that you can kind of stay in the loop of what's happening here at Crosspoint. And so there's a pen next to you, can fill that out and then put it someplace because we're going to use that here in just a few minutes at the end of the teaching. And so as we think about being prepared, you know, the Bible talks a lot about being ready for God, being prepared. And so for the next weeks, we're doing this red series where we're looking at the red letter teachings of Jesus. And if you don't have a Bible, then when you walk out of here, you can go out to Connection Point. We've got free Bibles out there. You can pick one up. And because we want you to be engaging with some of the teachings, some of the very missional things, specific things that Jesus said that he's about. And he said, I want you to be preparing yourselves to be about the same things that I was about. And so we're going to talk about going to those next new places individually as well. This is a church community. So before we do anything else, let's pray, and then we're going to take off running. God, you know, I'm thankful for a place we can come and we can talk about reality. We can talk about transcendent things, but we can come and hear things that maybe that aren't being said other places. And God, I'm just amazed at how you want to know us. I'm amazed at how, regardless of where we are in our spiritual orientation, that you connect with us exactly in that place. And so God, I'm going to ask today that you just help us to see the potential barriers today as we talk about getting prepared, the potential barriers that prevent us from experiencing all that you have for us. And so God, I'm going to ask you to help us to go to new places today. I'm going to ask you to help us to just begin to prepare, even help us to see maybe some of the things we're already doing and how those things might be shaping and forming us for the next things that you have in store. And so God, this is my prayer today. In your name, amen.
Man, we made a deal here.
So
you're supposed to teach and I'm supposed to learn, remember?
You learned plenty.
I learned plenty. I learned how to sand your decks, maybe. I've waxed your car, paint your house, paint your fence. I learned plenty, right?
Not everything is as seem. Daniel-san!
What?
Come here. Show me sand the floor.
I can't move my arm, all right? What are you doing? Ow! What are you doing?
Now show me sand the floor.
How did you do that?
Shut up!
Sand the floor.
Please, stand up. Show me sand floor. Sand floor. Sand floor. Big soccer, sand floor. Sand floor. Yes. Now show me wax on, wax off. Hey.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. Hey, wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock a hand. Thumb inside. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on. Wax off. Ush. Show me paint the fence. Up. Done. Up. Done. Up. Done. Other side. Look, I. Always look, I. Show me paint the house. Side, side. Lock list. Side, side. Side, side. Yes. Show me wax on, wax off.
That's.
Show me paint the fence.
That's.
Show me side to side.
Yes, that's.
Show me sand or floor.
That's.
That's a great scene. I know what you're thinking. You're like, come on, Crosspoint, get up with the times. There's a new one out. Why didn't you get the new movie? Well, you know, some things are best in their original form. All right, I mean, the one Ralph Macchio, I mean, there's something about, you know, Mr. Miyagi in this. I mean, you know, this is what I think of when I think of Karate Kid. And yet when we think about this, you know, there are certain things that we do, maybe certain activities that we do, that we submit ourselves to, and we have no idea that they're actually preparing us for something else. In fact, there's certain things that maybe we're intentionally doing that are preparing us for that next new place. And so as we think about what it means to prepare, I want us to kind of think about two things. We're going to first say, look at the mission of Jesus, what Jesus said we need to be about. And secondly, how we prepare ourselves so that we can be about the things that Jesus is about. And so you know, as I think about preparing, you know, why do we prepare? We prepare for things that are significant, right? I mean, over the last week, you know, I think about the things that I've been preparing for. I prepare for Sunday mornings. And because Sunday mornings are significant, it's a big part of my life. You know, I was at Target last night. I got sick walking down what I thought was the outdoor aisle, and it turned into the school aisle. You know, I hate getting ready for school. I mean, but people are starting to prepare for things. And so, you know, as I was thinking through, what are the things in my life that I've prepared for? You know, I don't know why it took me back to when we had Macy, or our first child. Just over 8 years ago. And, you know, when Julie and I were expecting our first child, I mean, we were clueless. We thought we knew what we were doing. I mean, I'd done children's ministry, youth ministry. I had all the wisdom on raising kids until we had our own. And you know, we have this baby coming into our house. I'm like, they didn't teach me how to do this stuff. And so, you know, we're preparing, we're child-proofing our house, we're doing all the normal, natural things. And then we started taking these classes, you know, like the childbirthing classes. And, you know, they teach you how to swaddle a baby. I grew up with like three younger brothers. I never swaddled a baby. I mean, they taught us how to put them in the car seat correctly. I don't think we had car seats back then. We just threw them in the back seat. And, you know, I mean, preparing for things that I'm like, man, things have changed a bit since I was a kid. And you know, my favorite of the childbirthing classes is when we did the breathing exercises. I mean, we're like on this blanket and they're telling us how to breathe. And I'm like all into it. And I look over at Julie and she's like, and I'm like, come on, yes, we're preparing for this. I mean, it's a big deal. And she's like, you know, I don't need that. And so, you know, I'm kind of frustrated. She doesn't want to do that. Well, then, you know, the week before Macy's born, go into our doctor and she says, yeah, you know, Julie, I don't think you're delivering her naturally. You're going to have a C-section next week. And so Julie's like, see, I didn't waste my time on those breathing exercises. And, you know, we prepared. And then when we got into the operating room, I mean, it was one of those moments where, you know, if you've ever been in that setting where a baby's been born, I mean, there's something. And for me, the first, I mean, I enjoyed all of our children being born. But the first, there's something I'll never forget about, just the feeling. And I remember standing there, I mean, there's about 20 medical personnel in the room. And, you know, this is a teaching hospital, so there's a couple doctors in training. And then you got our doctor and all the nurses. And I remember standing at the end of kind of the bed, and they're getting ready to start the operation. And the nurse kind of looks at me. She's like, Kurt, are you ready? How you feel? I'm like, man, I'm great. My heart is racing. I mean, I'm starting to break a sweat, and it's like 60 degrees in this room. I've got my scrubs on. It's freezing, yet I'm sweating. And I said, my arms are starting to get a little bit tingly. And then she looked at me, and she said, what? And I said, my arms are getting a little tingly, and now my chest. And she said something, and the whole medical team came to me, and they're like, give me a paper bag and a stool. And like, he's hyperventilating, and, they like called me a lightweight. And Julie's like, what's the deal? And she's like, you're the one that practiced the breathing, and here I am, the one and needing the medical assistance. And, I learned something in that as well. What I learned is that goes on your permanent record. Every kid that was born, they wrote in their dad's a lightweight. Make sure he has a stool nearby. Give him a paper bag in case he gets ready to faint again. And, so as much as we prepared, there were still moments where, it was a challenge for us. I mean, it was, you prepare for something, you think, man, I'm not ready. And yet the preparing prepares you for that next new season in life. And so, we see that Jesus spends a lot of time preparing. As we look through the scriptures, one of his things that he's constantly doing is he's preparing to help people see God more clearly. I mean, that's what he's preparing his followers for. How can we help this community, the people we're interacting with, see God more clearly? And so, even when you look at a typical calendar year, there are seasons of preparation. We're approaching one here in about a month and a half. Christmas apparently starts in October now. I didn't know that the season extended that far to the south on the calendar, but, we start, and I'm not a fan of that. I mean, Christmas starts after Thanksgiving, and it's actually a seasonal thing. I mean, there's actually this season called Advent, which is the 4 weeks that approach Christmas, and the whole idea of Advent is that it's a season for preparing for this child, this Christ child who's coming to be born, coming in the form of flesh and love to be born and to change the trajectory of lives on this earth forever. And even though he's born 2,000 years ago, we still go through this process of preparing and saying, what does this mean for me yet anew this year? We go forward in the year a little bit, and we get to Easter, and Easter is actually not a day, it's a season. I mean, we have Easter Sunday, but there's a whole season of preparation. And it begins for some on what's known as Fat Tuesday. For many, it begins on Ash Wednesday. And it's a season when, you begin this process of giving something up during Lent. But Lent isn't really just about giving something up. Lent is about this seven-week process where we kind of prepare ourselves and say, what does God want to do in me as I anticipate, as I relive again in a sense, as I celebrate what Christ did on the cross for me? I mean, it's the bookends of his life. We spend a significant amount of time preparing for these two seasons. So we see, there's a lot of preparation built in, and we prepare for things that are big. And so here at Crosspoint, we're preparing for our next big season. And, we just came through a big season. In fact, the last series we were in, it was called The Modern Family. But each of the 4 weeks, we looked at this scripture from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that talks about how there's a season for everything. And there's certain activities that you do in certain seasons. And so, one of the things we know about this upcoming season, and I'm talking, the next 2 to 3 months, is that we're going to be entering a heavy growth season this fall. Fall is always a growth season for us. It's a time when people are typically more willing to be open to what God may want to do in their life, more open to exploring spiritual things. And there's 3 reasons why. And we know these very clearly, and we see these happening all around our community, why people are more open during certain seasons. And you probably are seeing these in some of the friends that you interact with around your neighborhood and the people you work with. The first is this: whenever people are in tension, regardless of what the tension is, people are more open to considering what God may want to do in their life. And there's something about tension that causes us to say, I've got to get some grounding here. And the next one is whenever people are in trouble, whether it's house trouble, financial trouble, marriage trouble, kid trouble, legal trouble, trouble with the law. I mean, whatever the trouble may be, when we're in trouble, we have this tendency to say, maybe there's something, maybe there's some grounding that I can get, some reality that I can get from going to God and looking to God to bring some meaning and purpose into my life. And so that's another characteristic. The third one is whenever people are in transition. And in case you haven't noticed, people are in transition all around us. I mean, whether it's family transition, whether it's, new kids being welcomed into homes, whether it's families dissolving, marriages dissolving, or people moving into the community. I mean, we have that going on all around us. In fact, we do some mailings out to people that are newer in our community, that are new move-ins, and we find that there's about 400 to 500 people that move in within a 6-mile radius of this spot right here every month. 400 to 500 homes that move into this community. There's transition all around us. And so one of the questions we have to say is, Jesus was continuing to prepare. What does it mean for us to prepare as a community as well as individually for what God wants to do in this next season of our existence here at Crosspoint? And, it's one of the things that Jesus did regularly. He's regularly saying, how can I prepare to help people in these different seasons of life experience me in new and increased ways? And so, you know, somebody recently said to me, like, man, you know, we just came through a huge season. Man, we had great capital campaign, great crazy campaign. And, you know, so all of our attention is focused now on getting into that next new place, right? I mean, the next year and a half. And I said, no, I mean, it's one of the tools. It's one of the goals that we have, but it's not our mission. It's not what we focus all of our attention on. I mean, even in this past week, we've had meetings that are kind of starting the next season of getting word out that, hey, we're in the looking field and we're beginning to receive information of what's available out here. And yet our main mission is to continue to create pathways for people to experience God, not to get to a destination, a physical location. That is simply a tool that will increase our ability to do what God wants to do through this place. And so right now, I want us to think about what is this thing that Jesus continually brings people back to, and he says, this is what you're about. And then how do we prepare over these next 3 weeks for this next season? And so as we think about this, I want us to look at Mark chapter 2. And in Mark chapter 2, we find Jesus kind of defining his fight. He's kind of defining, saying, this is why I'm here. This is the reason that I'm here. It's this age-old question, who is Jesus for? Is he for those that are in the world that don't know him? Is he for those that are already good enough that, you know, just so they can have good teaching in the temple and people can come and feel good when they leave that Jesus told them that they're doing a good job? I mean, who is Jesus for? And Jesus makes it very clear in Mark chapter 2. In fact, I'm going to read from the screens because it's a different version that I have right here. This is a New Living Translation. It says, that night, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to be his dinner guests along with his fellow tax collectors and many other notorious sinners. Now, I love this version right here because, you know, it's interesting that the author uses the word notorious sinners. And what we understand here is Jesus, you know, he is not hanging out with the 12 most spiritual people on the face of the planet right here. I mean, Jesus just invited Levi, who he's now eventually going to name Matthew, to be one of his 12 on his team. Levi is a tax collector. Tax collectors then were different than tax collectors today. They were kind of at the center of all that was wrong and bad in the community. Tax collectors were the despised of the despised. I mean, if you saw a tax collector, you walked around a street or two to get around where they were because you just didn't interact with them. And they were kind of the ones that reigned with all of the other notorious sinners. Now, it's interesting that the author here also says there were many of this kind among the crowds that followed Jesus. So we see very clearly that Jesus is maybe has a little bit of a different picture than we like to think of him as. He's running with the people who don't have it all together. He's running after those and with those who are at the center of all that's dark and bad and broken in the community. And there's some people that are struggling with this. We read on, it says, when the teachers of the religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with people like that, they said to his disciples, why does he eat with such scum? And they're kind of like, ain't he supposed to be hanging out with us? I mean, in the holy rollers place, you know, where everybody's good and good enough. And they're like, no, this is what Jesus says. This is when he overheard them saying this. He said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call sinners, not those who think that they're already good enough. This is a key scripture for us, right? This is a key grounding thing. As we think about what it means to be prepared, we begin to get this picture, a recalibrated picture that Jesus is the wild one. I mean, this is the revolutionary right here. This is the one who's shaking things up a bit. He's challenging the status quo among the religious communities of this day. I mean, he's making some waves in his culture. Speaking of making waves, I got this email. Somebody sent me a link earlier this week to a blog, and this is what it said. It said, Jesus makes the cover of Playboy. Really fascinating blog. And in fact, here it is right here. And this was in Portugal, not in the United States. Rest assured, this did not make it to our market. But, you know, it was on this blog, JesusNeedsNewPR.net. And when I saw this, I really struggled with it. In fact, you know, here's the blog posting. In fact, that's better. Most of us are a little more comfortable right now with that. You know, here's what the post said. It said, again, I repeat, Jesus is on the cover of Playboy in Portugal. I don't want anybody to hyperventilate or have a heart attack. I've got some breathing exercises if you just did that a moment ago. You can rest easy knowing that America's Jesus is safe and sound wherever you keep him. All right, you know, so we have this way of kind of making a personalized Jesus. We want Jesus to fit this little box for us. Keep breathing. There's no need to start calling your congressman, congresswoman. They can't help you, and the 700 prayer line can't either. God is still sitting on the throne, or at least he's on your nightstand if you happen to keep him there. When I saw this, I struggled with this. In fact, I struggled with this because I thought, man, you know, and I had to start to ask myself, you know, where would Jesus be in this culture if he were living here today? Would he be gathering with us here at Crosspoint? Or would he be out where the darkness, where the places in our world where there's a lot of brokenness, where there's a lot of pain? Now this image is interesting because, you know, the image was actually created out of some thought that, you know, Jesus was fully man and fully human, and this idea that even though he was fully God, that he still must have given in to some of the temptations. And so, you know, he's kind of seducing this woman in this image here, which creates kind of a weird, you know, feeling, because we say that's not the way it was. That wasn't Jesus. There's some that believe that he, you know, he seduced women, that he had affairs with women. You know, there's nothing to validate that. There's even a movie that that was based on that a few years ago. There we go. That is more comfortable because we don't like Playboy and Jesus in the same thing. Now, this is a Jesus we're used to. Kind of a Western-looking, fair skin, you know, beauty sash across his chest. That's the nice Jesus, right? We like that picture right there. You know, this makes us uncomfortable. This made me uncomfortable when I first saw him, to be honest with you. And I had to ask myself, why am I uncomfortable with it? Am I uncomfortable because it's portraying something that Jesus really wasn't about? Or am I uncomfortable because I've never really seen Jesus as one who goes and interacts with those people? And as a former porn addict myself, and being recovered from that, and knowing that there's been a life transformation that's happened in my life, I know that Jesus can meet people in the deepest, darkest places. And when I read this scripture in Matthew and Mark, I say, what does it mean for us to be about a God, a Jesus, who says, I'm going out for those that need to get healthy, those that are struggling, that are broken, that are battered, not the ones that are holy rolling and walking into church every week saying, hey, look how good we are. She said, I'm here for those that think they're not good enough. So as we say, what's the next season about? Well, there's a lot of people in transition in our culture. There's a lot of people in trouble. There are a lot of people in tension. They're saying, man, is there a Jesus? Is there something that this Jesus has that could meet me exactly where I am? And before you go judging me, before you start, you know, getting ready to write that nasty email, say, I can't believe you put that on the screens. I want you to ask yourself that question. Is this because I just don't like what it portrays? Is it because I struggle with knowing that Jesus, he rolled with this kind of people? This is where he rolled. Jesus was clear about his mission. He was clear about who we need to be preparing for. He's clear about what our mission is for. He says, it's not just so you can gather in this next new place that we're eventually going to move into. It's not so we can have some cush seats to get into every week and we can enjoy being together. It's to be a tool, a launch pad, a place for people to come who are broken and hurt and continue to hear this life trajectory changing message of a Christ who restores and heals. And so what does it mean to be prepared? Over the next 3 weeks, we're getting ready. And so today, I want to kind of walk through some barriers that arise in our lives, things that kind of pop up in our lives that prevent us from being about what Jesus is about. And so I want us to look at this, what Jesus says about preparedness in Luke chapter 8. And this is a really interesting scripture because you probably heard it before if you've been around church before. If you haven't, you may have even heard it. It's a very common, you know, parable that we're going to look at. And these are the teachings of Jesus because we're looking at the red portions of the scripture. And, you know, and this would have been a parable that was very well known to the audience. In fact, Jesus' culture, his audience right here, would have grasped this concept very quickly. He's talking about soil. He's talking about sowers. He's talking about seed. This is an agricultural community. They lived and died on agriculture. And so, you know, as we think about this, this isn't really about the sower, though. It's not really about the seed. The question is, what kind of soil is my life? What kind of soil am I cultivating in my life? And am I prepared to be a part of what God is doing in this next season, in this next planting season? And so in Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 4, here's what Jesus said. He said, while a large crowd was gathering, and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And for some of us, you know, we're like, man, this Jesus person, who is he? Everybody says he's the greatest person ever walked the planet. Well, you know, he is. He's the most remarkable, intelligent person ever walked the planet. So we're still talking about what happened 2,000 years later, when the only figures that stood that test of time. And yet, you're like, this is not rocket science. You plant seed in good soil and it grows. Plant it on rocks, you plant it in thorns, you plant it on a path. I mean, this guy, I mean, who says he's a genius if you can just take common sense and figure this stuff out? Well, not so fast, Sherlock. I mean, it's not exactly the way it seems, all right? You know, if this is where you're saying, man, there's nothing about this that I couldn't figure out myself. Well, you know, there's a lot more going on in this culture. There's a lot more depth to what Jesus is saying here than just the different types of soils. In fact, the difference is that there's a different way that the planting went about in that particular day. The culture, the first century Jewish culture, you know, we think of when we go out and plant seeds, what do? A farmer goes out and he plows the field, and then he plants or he sows his seed, right? In the first century culture, it was the opposite of that. Someone would go out and they would cast seed, usually by hand, and then they would come and they would turn the ground over, turning the seed into the ground. And so it wouldn't be uncommon for a sower to go out and say, wow, this is an area where people have traveled. I mean, they didn't have real defined roads then. These people have kind of made a pathway through here. It's a shortcut from point A to point B. But this is good land, and so I'm going to sow some seed on this trampled ground, knowing that a plow is going to come and turn that ground over. Or it wouldn't be uncommon to sow seed on what looked like a good piece of land, only to find that when you turned the ground over, that there was a rocky subsoil underneath that would hold no moisture. So the plant would literally get out of the ground, and then it would just kind of wither and die because it had no moisture to sustain it. Or it wouldn't be uncommon to plant seed in an area where there were some other weeds and maybe things happening, but it looked like a good fertile land, and yet when the soil was turned over, the thorns grew quicker than the good seed, and it just kind of drowned them out. And so there's a lot more going on here than just, man, you find good soil. They were constantly looking for good soil. But Jesus said, when you find good soil, when there is soil that is good, then the seed flourishes. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is how do we live? You know, there's these unknown barriers that prevent us from contaminate our soil in our life. How do we prevent these barriers from continuing to pop up? And so I want to kind of run us through what Jesus says next that help identify some of these barriers that might prevent us from experiencing what God wants to do in our life in our next season, in our next season here at Cross Point. Jesus goes on to explain this further, verse 11. He says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And so Jesus is kind of saying, yeah, there's certain people that are just kind of those path people. And path people are those people that, you know, they hear the word. The seed is planted with them. You know, they're kind of exposed to it. But for whatever reason, they refuse to receive or to believe the message of Christ. For whatever reason, the soil's not ready. They reject the seed. And it's kind of like the path. You know, put it on the path and it's just hard and it doesn't go anywhere. The birds come and they take it away. And there's a lot of reasons that this could happen. You know, for some of us, maybe we've been walking into this place week after week or, you know, one time a month after one time a month. And we come, and yet there's nothing that we've really been able to accept. And maybe we're dealing with, we just can't really come to that place of accepting that maybe God could accept me. Maybe we can't receive the seed because we can't believe that God would actually choose me. And we think, man, you know, and the barrier here is acceptance. I mean, it's saying, you know, the barrier for us experiencing what God wants us to experience is that we can't accept what God is freely giving. And it takes us all the way back to who Jesus was for. Because sometimes we're like, man, I'm not good enough. Man, I got to get it all together. I got to get my crap together so I can bring a good person to God. No, God says, I came. I sent Jesus in the form of flesh and love into the dark places of the world so for the people that don't have it all together. That's why Cross Point says it all the time. We're like, you know, we want to be that kind of place. I mean, I'm the first to admit many times I have a lot of failings. I don't have it all together, and yet God accepts me. It's the first barrier. We go on, verse 13. Jesus goes on, he says, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. And so Jesus kind of says there's rock people. And rock people are like many of the people, the crowds who follow Jesus. I mean, they hear this life-saving grace that Jesus brings, and they believe in it, but they never get around to doing anything with it. It's like it's a one-way street. They receive it, but then it never really permeates. It's like Jesus is a strap-on to just add to what I'm carrying. You know, I just strap him on and take him with me wherever I go. I mean, it's a good thing to have around, but eventually, like anything you strap on, it gets heavy and cumbersome, and if it's not pervading your life, if there's nothing that's making the roots go deeper, then eventually you're like, yeah, I'm just going to throw this thing off for a while. And we begin to reject it again. I mean, rock people don't understand that part of the way that we grow in our love for God is understanding God. It's orienting ourselves around the things that God calls us to, but it's also in how we love others. Those are two of the values, the hills we die on here at Cross Point. We say, you know, we want to be about loving and cultivating love for God, but maybe the way we love others is how we love God. Yes, that's why serving is so big to us here. That's why, you know, as we go through these next few weeks, we're going to be talking about how are you serving? If you want to go to that next new place in your life, how are you engaging in life-on-life contact with people here at Cross Point and outside the doors? I mean, that's one of the things I love about our community here. I mean, we have over 40 volunteers making stuff happen in this building. I mean, for this gathering, we have over 40 volunteers right now. We had 40 different volunteers first hour. And so we have over 80 people in this season right now of summer that help make things happen around here, that bless people by serving, by being places on time, by being prepared to serve you when you walk in the doors. And, you know, when we start load in, load out here in a couple weeks, that's going to grow to about 100 people that it takes to make this thing happen every weekend. There's something about that. There's something about that activity. It's like sand the floor. It's like, you know, wipe on, wax off. All of these things are preparing us to be more in sync with what God is doing as we're touching lives in our community. The barrier here is indifference. You know, rock people, sometimes it's like, man, I hear this, I'm excited about it, but we don't take the step. We're indifferent, like, yeah, I don't know that filling a need or engaging in life on life stuff is really going to make a difference. And so we're just indifferent, and eventually the seed just kind of withers away. The next barrier we see in verse 14. Jesus says, he says, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. And so he's kind of like, you know, the next segment of people are thorn patch people, and these people are overcome by the allure of materialism, and they have no room left in their lives for God. You know, one of the really cool things came out of the Crazy campaign a few months ago as we went through that is, you know, we were very clear in saying, you know, at the end of that campaign, we're going to find out if our hearts are really with God or if they're just in our pockets. And I was blown away. I mean, our goal of $500,000, what it was going to take to shape out warehouse space up in the Saxony corporate campus for us to move into this next, more permanent space for us to have a launch pad. You know, when we met with our consultant, he said, man, you guys are going to have to pray hard to achieve that. You're a young church, you have a lot of young families, you don't have those pillar retirees that, you know, are sitting on nest eggs. I mean, this is going to be a huge challenge for this young community to raise $500,000. And you know what? I love challenges, and I was just elated when we blew through the roof of that. $613,000 to date committed to the Crazy campaign just blows me. I am humbled by how generous this community has been. But what I'm humbled by more is when I see how people's lives are being changed. So people are saying, hey, you know, my heart is not in my pocket. I have room left for God in my life, and I'm loosened on some stuff, and I'm orienting in a greater way my life around this big thing God's doing because I want to fuel the life change that's going to continue to happen in this place. And I get excited about that. That's way more than the money, is seeing people's hearts on fire and passionate about making God's dreams come true. And that just excites me. So way to go, Crosspoint. It's been an exciting thing. Because the barrier here for thorn patch people, if we're not there, is our stuff. Our stuff begins to become a barrier. God says, you know, there's things that you have in your life. There's things you need to loose on if you really want to be about what I'm about. And so it's a barrier. For some of us, that may be a barrier. For some of us sitting here today, we may say, man, that's a barrier for me right now. The question is, what is it going to take for you to get outside of that barrier? And then Jesus talks about one more kind of soil. He goes on in the last verse and he says, but the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. And so he's saying, you know, when you're living a no barriers life, and you're just in that place where there are no barriers that are preventing the seeds that God wants to plant in your life from sprouting and growing in a healthy way. He says, man, you're just in that fertile place where God can live and move, and you can risk, and you can go here, you can go there. And there's just a freedom that comes when we're living that no barriers life. I mean, so many times we think of the life of God being a life of restriction. He says, you know what? When your heart is open and your soil of your heart is prepared, there are no barriers to what God can do. And there's three words he used to describe it here. He says, there's three words that come with this. He says, first, these people hear, people have good soil, they hear. And then secondly, they retain. The retainers of what they take in, and then they're perseverers. They go out and they're saying, okay, you know, I'm going to listen, I'm going to retain, I'm going to process what this means, but I'm going to go on and make an impact. And that's the kind of people we want to be. That's what it means to be. My goal is that each one of us are growing toward a good soil, no barriers kind of life. And when we're there, God can do exponential things in our lives personally and as a community. This is where we're going. We're preparing. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be very intentionally and purposefully exploring and experimenting in ways that will allow us to continue to take those steps and prepare for this next season. What we believe God wants to do in the next month, the next 2 months here at Crosspoint. The question is, you know, what are the barriers that are going to prevent you from going there with us? Would you take out your connection card? As I said earlier, we're really big on next steps here, and on the back of the connection card are some next steps. And you know, we care way too much about your spiritual journey to just let you walk out of here and say, yeah, that was good, that was nice. I hate when people come up to me and say, yeah, that was a nice teaching. So when you say that to me, I'm just like, oh, you know, I roll my eyes. Because I want something that's impactful, something that makes you a bit uncomfortable and says, you know, I'm going to take a step forward this week. And so we've listed some out. And what's fascinating is each of these have to do with each of the four barriers that we just talked about, the three barriers we just talked about. The first one, you know, maybe your step, maybe you're a path person, maybe you've been in that place where you've received the word of God before you've heard the word, and for whatever reason, you've just never received from God. You've never been willing to receive, and maybe you've never allowed yourself to be in a place where you could receive. Maybe you come, but then you stay away because you're afraid of what might begin to happen. I mean, as we go through these next 3 weeks, maybe your step is just to say, for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to plan to be at Cross Point through this series and just see what God does. See if God awakens something. See if maybe there's something that I can take that next step in that next play, to that next new place in my relationship with God. And if this is where you are, maybe that's your step. And we say, you know, unless there's a good reason, that means, you know, a reason you'd miss work for. You know, if you're sick, if you're vomiting, we don't want you here, right? If you stay home or if you're on vacation, that's a good reason to miss. But if you're in town, submit yourself. Say, well, I'm going to see what God's going to do over these next 3 weeks. If you're somebody it's one of those rocky people, you know, that the Word of God has just never taken root, then maybe this next step, you know, we're going to be going on a reading journey over the next 3 weeks, next 4 weeks. And this week, reading the Gospel according to Mark, chapters 1 through 4. Maybe you just need to say, I'm going to commit to reading the first four chapters of Mark. And if you don't have a Bible, you can get one at Connection Point on your way out. And just see if the Word of God begins to take root in me, begins to stir some things in my heart. Maybe you've never done that before. At the end of 4 weeks, we're going to read through the whole Gospel according to Mark. The next step may have to do with those that are in that thorny patch place. Maybe you're just really attached to your stuff, and God nudges you and urges you at times, but you're so attached to your life, your way, your stuff, that you cannot be sensitive to the movements of God in your life. And maybe your next step is saying, you know, I'm gonna be very aware this week of how God's already moving, what God may already be preparing in my life, and what He wants to do, what He wants to loose. And that's a big step right there, because, you know, if you're used to your life, your way, your stuff, then taking that step means, man, God may move you. God may reveal some things, some places He wants you to go, things He wants you to do. And it may cost you something, some time, some money, who knows? Maybe this is your step this week. If you're in one of those good soil places, you know, what I want to ask you to do, and anybody can commit to this one as well, is, you know, will you pray for our staff team, for our ministry directors, for our volunteers at Cross Point, as we prepare over the next 4 weeks for this next big season here? Because we believe God wants to continue to change lives, and we're going to kind of get this machine, this love machine, fine-tuned over the next 4 weeks, ready to make an impact, ready to greet people, to serve people, to be prepared for kids when they come. And we knock it out of the park right now, but we're always looking for ways to do it better. And so you pray for us and pray for our community that we'd have maximum impact. And then lastly, maybe there's something else that God's stirring in you, want to write that down. Just take a couple seconds, pick up the pen next to you, and just say, you know, God, what's my step this week? What's the next step I'm going to take? They'll help me get to that next new place. God, I'm praying right now that as we're marking our cards, as we're, you know, saying, what does this mean for me? Some of us, you know, we may have to process through this a bit, but God, you know, we always believe you're wanting to take us to that next place, regardless of where we are on our journey. And God, this is one of those moments where, you know, we're going to make some decisions that might shape what the next month looks like in our life. And so, God, I'm going to ask that you would help us to make those. I'd hope that you ask us to see what the barriers are in our life right now, and that may be preventing us from being in that good soil, that no barriers life. And God, just help us address them. Help us to begin to take steps, reveal what steps that might be this week. And God, we're excited about what you're doing. We're excited about this next season. We're excited about how you are moving in this community and how you're changing lives and how you're continuing to draw people to you and bringing meaning and purpose to lives. God, it is just a privilege that you invite us to be a part of that, God. So get us prepared as we sing these words, as we sing this declaration in a sense. God, we're saying, God, that our hearts, this is our prayer, God, that our hearts would be about you and you only. And God, for some of us, we might be able to not quite yet sing that, God, and yet as we sing, even during those moments as we sing, God, reveal to us what steps we might take. God, help us to see that when you're everything to us, we are fully focused on you, that God, we continue to go to those new places, God. That's our prayer.